Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian, Carlo Barone, we're laughing because we know something you don't know about how we tried to get this show started. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. I know.
It's second time, too.
Let me just say something right now. It's already been a long week. It's only Monday. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, just order it online. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. They will deliver it right to your door. You can brew it yourself and enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. We got all these great summer weekends. That's the best time to grill. So if you just want to make it quick, steaks or burgers, no problem. But if you want to go big with a brisket, a picanha, a tri-tip, whatever, you can make it happen for yourself as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, filled by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com.
So, look, Brian.
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Everything Mississippi State, whatever you're looking for, State and Ole Miss. I'll give them, they sell Ole Miss stuff there. What can you do? It's at College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the bankers at Priority One Bank. Bankers that know you by name, not by your account number. Bankers that treat you with respect. Bankers are going to give you a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Pete Nakos reporting, Mississippi State assistant DB's coach and defensive analyst Evan Harvey is being promoted to safety's coach. A source tells On3, had been with the Bulldogs for two seasons, previously the special teams coordinator at Youngstown State. I didn't know State had room for another assistant. You're allowed, what, 10 on-the-field assistants, right?
I have no clue. I would imagine something like that. But I feel like the coordinators are mostly in the box.
Well, that's not about being a coordinator. I'm just saying in terms of in the box is still an on-the-field assistant. Like, if Arnett's in the box, which he won't be, he's always been an on-the-field guy. He's an on-the-field guy. If you have assistant coaches in the box, you're allowed 10 assistant coaches. You have, on offense, you have Johns, you have Montgomery, you have Tucker, you have Lodeholt, and you have, Cooper. Cooper's the tight ends coach, all right? Then you have Brock, Warren, Corey Bell. I guess that works, yeah, because Arnett, I guess, was going to coach safeties. Now, yeah, I guess that's right. And then you have Odom as the special teams coordinator. So, okay, well, congrats to Coach Harvey. I don't know the guy, so I guess we'll get to know him. We'll see him in about 2 months or about a month and a half when we have our
11 weeks.
Is that – well, never mind that. I'm talking about like our once-a-year talk with the assistants day.
Oh, coming up, so. No.
Early August.
August. Yeah, so. Once a year.
All right. Here's what we're going to go to today. We're going to have a little extra session of summer school. We're not going to talk about positions, though. Earlier today, huge news in the world of college and pro sports as Michigan head basketball coach Dusty May, who, as Carlo pointed out, 27 months ago was the head coach at Florida Atlantic.
Makes no sense.
Is now the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. An organization that has a superstar in the making in Cooper Flagg, an organization that is kind of trying to rebuild itself after the Luka trade. He wins the national title at Michigan last year, and now he is the head coach. That is a shocking move.
I was stunned.
I was on a walk, and I got an email from On3 that said, Michigan head coach to the NBA, and I was like, What? So I'm walking and scrolling Twitter like, holy crap, I couldn't believe it.
I was in my bed and I looked at my phone and I like opened Instagram. The first thing it was like Dusty May of the Mavericks.
Like,
I was like half awake and I was like,
is this No Three
what?
Sports? Is Pete Nokos reporting this?
Yeah, exactly.
So
Woke me up for
that's a
sure.
shocking, shocking move. And so what I wanted to do is talk about similar in just in terms of the shock value for this particular fan base for Mississippi State. So I've got five things, shocking, shocking things. Oh God. All right, I guess I got to come clean. The while we were recording, in the first 5 seconds, the power went out, and I had a little Word document up that had my five things on it. It's gone now, so I got to put them back. So give me just a second here, just to remember how I had them going. Yeah,
At least the Wi-Fi turned back on and
everything's back,
everything
but
is back.
I gotta do my my thing here. So it's like, where's my document? Oh, that's right, the computer cut
Surprised
off.
it didn't autosave, honestly. Is this Google Doc?
It's not a Google Doc, it's just a Word pad.
Oh, yeah, good luck then.
Yeah, it's all right. I remember the last temperature. What was one in the middle? Oh goodness. Oh, okay, I got it. All right, and then last one is
And
there. Okay. And then no, and then. All right, here we go. So we're gonna start. We're gonna go 5-1. This is my rankings. You feel free to disagree. Also, in this rankings, no deaths.
no
I
deaths.
didn't want to deal with death. So
Okay.
Mike Leach, Rodney Stowers, Kiefer McGee, not going to talk about them. Also, no on the field results, no
Okay.
games. So like, because when I sat down and was talking to Carl about it, he's like, "What, Toledo?" I was like, "No, we're not going to go there. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do at the same
We're
time.
not gonna go there.
We're not going to do 1980 Mississippi State beats Alabama. Not going to talk about that. No on the these are like." Most of them are coaching related, but two of them are not. But regardless, here we go. Number five is the institution of for the lack of I don't know the actual number of the bill or whatever they want to call the bylaw in the SEC, but the institution of the Cowbell Compromise of Mississippi State being once again allowed to ring cowbells at games. I was shocked. I was shocked to use that word.
When was that?
2009, Mullen's first year was the year they came out and they were like, you can ring cowbells at a game. You have to, there's rules for it. They have tinkered with those rules, but I honestly thought it was going to be, forever of sneaking cowbells into games. And I guess the SEC just kind of threw its hands up and they're like, look, we can't keep 40,000 people. We don't have the means to search 40,000 people and get these cowbells out of here. Let's figure out a way to do it that makes sense for everybody. And I think that was something that, fans around the conference were like, wait a minute, they're going to let them do what? I think there was a moment of that as well. That's something I give a lot of credit, to Scott Strickland for. I'm sure he played a huge role in it. He's the athletic director at the time. I guess, no, I can take it back. I guess Byrne would have been. Rick Byrne would have been the athletic director at the time. So him, Strickland would have been one of his assistants. Mullen, I'm sure, played a role in it. I'm sure, gosh, who would have been the president then? It's not Dr. Keenum, I don't think. I don't think Dr. Fogelsong was. I don't remember. Maybe Keenum, but just, as a guy who grew up my whole life, you snuck in your cowbell. They were supposed to be illegal. It was something that, I never thought it would be legal to do in the stadium again.
How'd you sneak it in?
I always put mine in my backside and put it under my shirt, tucked in my shirt, and walked in.
No metal detectors?
Not pre 2009. No,
You about to say.
no, yeah.
Yeah.
When? Oh goodness, I'm trying to think. When do they install metal direct detectors? Like, yeah. Even when they had metal detectors, there were ways around it and stuff. So yeah, and people would just get them in. So I mean, when I was in college, it was 19. There were no metal detectors in the 90s. We weren't doing that. It
Okay.
had been invented. They were a thing that existed. We just didn't have them at college football games. 9/11 was when that first started happening, when you would have some metal detectors. But even then, it was just they just didn't really care about cowbells.
Yeah.
So I did have one taken. I'd have one like they were like, we got you, and they took it, and I never got it back.
We got you.
That was one. My cow, my old cowbell. I had two dimples on either side of it from where I had rung it so much that the bell, the knocker had dented the metal out.
So you had like two bumps on the side.
Yes,
there.
On either side.
Hey, that's a good sign, man.
Yeah, I mean, I gave that thing a beating. Yeah, but but yeah, that's gonna be my number five of just trying to think. You know, when I found out that was gonna happen, I was like, really? And I think most Mississippi State fans were the same. So, number four, this is a good shock. So was that one too? The last two are bad shocks. The first two are good, and then the middle one is however you want to look at it. But the hiring of Jackie Sherrill at Mississippi State, that was the first time in my life I really and truly had hope that Mississippi State was going to be winning in football. They were hiring a real coach, a coach who had won a lot of games. You know, I remembered him. So I'm, 15, 14 years old at the time. But I knew about his Texas A&M teams and his Pitt teams and how good they had been. And I was like, holy crap, Jackie Sherrill is the head coach. It got an article in Sports Illustrated, which I never in my life thought Mississippi State would have an article written about it in Sports Illustrated, you know, in the 90s. That was something that it just didn't have. Sports Illustrated was for, you know, the Bulls and the Lakers and the Bears and the Yankees and stuff. Sorry.
The
Bears in the 90s, they were a good team. The Packers were terrible when I was a like 8 to 15-year-old kid.
Did you just not live in 96 or 97?
Well, I was in my 20s.
Hmm. Okay.
I was in college when Favre went to Green Bay. Yeah. Yeah, the Bears were a good team back then.
They used to be.
Well, they're good now. They won the division.
We'll see.
Didn't they beat the Packers in the playoffs this year?
Do you want me to come over there?
I'm just asking questions here. I'm going to be talking.
Biggest win in franchise history, actually.
They've won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, if you would ask any Bears fan though, they would say that one's
like
the biggest
Tucker Carlson. I'm just asking questions. I don't.
I'm just saying, like, all my friends still talk about that. I'm like, wow, I don't talk about the wins that we've had over you guys my entire life. But yeah, sure. But that was a big deal when they hired.
Yes, and that was one of those. You know, I love the internet. The rumor mill on that is that Larry Templeton, who was Mississippi State's athletic director, who is a terrible athletic director. He's part of the reason State was so far behind for so many years. He wanted to hire Bobby Collins, who was the head coach at USM, and then he went to SMU at the peak of their cheating and got fired, obviously, and they were going to hire him. And Dr. Zacharias, the president, was like, we're going to go another way. And I've always heard that, and I believe it because – it's just easily believable that Larry Templeton wanted to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in his first year, State goes to a bowl, and you know the best years of Mississippi State to that time happened under Jackie Sherrill. And I just said, remember, I think the biggest shock of it all was seeing the Sports Illustrated article. Like, it wasn't the cover, so you know I'd have to go back and look, but you know I'm reading Sports Illustrated. And I'm like, holy crap, it's Mississippi State in Sports Illustrated. I couldn't believe it. So that's going to be my number four. My number three, again, happened around this time period. I think it was 92. I think I'm right. So that's when Ron Polk, in the middle of the season, announces he's going to retire.
Like immediately?
He's going to finish out the year.
Oh.
And I State at that point, I think, was number one in the nation. And he's just like, he was so fed up with the NCAA and the way they operated. He's like, I can't do this anymore. It's like, I'm going to retire and I'm going to spend all of my time fighting the NCAA. And then he changed his mind. And he decided to stay at Mississippi State. He ended up staying another three seasons, I believe. And then five seasons. He stayed until 97, retired then. And then, of course, you know, as we all know, came back to Mississippi State later on. And his second tenure, obviously, not as successful as his first. But I remember, again, and I was probably in eighth or ninth grade. I don't remember. I don't remember the exact year. But looking at the Clarion Ledger, and Polk to retire was like, it was basically like World War II ended. Like, what huge, massive headline, like Ron Polk to retire at the end of the year. And, I mean, just Ron Polk was Mississippi State sports. Never mind.
Baseball,
sports. He was everything the Mississippi State had at that time. Football was not good. Basketball was not good yet. And Ron Polk was the face of the university. I mean, there's not an example right now. If O'Connor retired today, it would not be as shocking as Polk retiring at that moment. There's not an example of – there's not a person on the Mississippi State campus right now that holds the kind of sway that Ron Polk did.
Would you compare it to when Bobby Knight was out at Indiana?
Or? Yeah. 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 Less abuse, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just more talking about the impact he had in the
Yeah,
university.
I mean, you know, Bobby Knight obviously won a couple of national titles, but he was the most popular figure on that campus. Everybody knew Ron Polk. And so to see he's like, he's going to walk away, and, you know, a pretty principled stand. He's like, I'm sick of the way the NCAA treats college baseball. I can't fight it here. I have to do something more. And he ended up staying at State, and he fought. I mean, he still to this day hates the NCAA. But the headline of him retiring is something I remember very vividly as a kid. So we'll put that at number three. Number two, you might remember this. How old would you have been in 2000? Hold on, let me see. Let me bring the date up again. How old were you in 2010?
8 years old.
Do you remember the fight for Mississippi State basketball, the Hawaiian Punch incident?
Who were they playing?
They were in a tournament in Hawaii at Honolulu. And two players, Renardo Sidney and Elgin Bailey, got in a fight in the stands. They were watching a game. They were not playing, not on the court.
I got to see this video, though.
It does exist.
I'm going to look it up. What's it called?
It's if you just search for Mississippi State Renardo Sidney fight, you'll find it. And they were in the tournament out there. They had just won a game. Sidney, for those of you who, you know, for those of you like Carla who probably don't remember him, was a highly, highly touted high school basketball player. But Mississippi State, the NCAA was all over his recruitment. They believe State cheated, whatever. They probably did. And he was ineligible for a whole year.
Because of this fight?
No. Because of his recruitment.
Oh.
He comes back as a sophomore, and he never achieved. He got out of shape. Nobody could coach him. He didn't take coaching. This is a guy that in high school people were like, this is the next Magic Johnson. Like, he was a 6'9" point guard who could do anything, but he never did anything. And his career is a great cautionary tale. Yeah, that's it. That's him.
Wow, yeah, I just saw him beat that dude up. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
they got into a fight in the stands, and so it became national news, obviously. And what's funny is they kicked Elgin Bailey off the team, not Renardo Sidney, because my guess is Sidney had some leverage as far as his recruitment goes, and Bailey did not.
Wait, these two guys were the same team?
Yes, they both played for Mississippi State.
Geez, okay, I missed that part.
That's what I'm saying. That's why this is shocking, yes.
Look who's the commentator, too. That's crazy.
The Gottlieb, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. What? Head coach of Milwaukee Green Bay or whatever he is now.
Green Bay now.
Yeah, that was one.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize this was two dudes on both Mississippi
They were
both State.
They were teammates, and they had this incident between them. Yeah.
This is a crazy
fight. Did you watch the fight? Yeah.
Yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, two guys who are both 6'9", about 300 pounds each.
Oh, my God.
Just swinging in the middle of the stands. An absolute embarrassment, no doubt.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is shocking.
Yes.
You got me.
All right, I got you. There you go.
Wow.
So they called it the Hawaiian Punch because it makes sense, right? You got to give everything a cool nickname. That's the that's my number two. That was one I remember because it happened. It's in Hawaii, right? So this happened late at night, around what?
It said 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah, and this the article is written on Christmas Eve. So you're talking about
Merry Christmas.
I'm not watching this game or anything like this when it happens. And you wake up the next day and you're like, they did what? You know, my guess is we just read about it on message boards. Like, we didn't even have Twitter or anything going at that time. I don't remember. So yeah, that's my number two. My number one, it's also the most recent one. Vic Schaefer leaving for Texas.
I thought this one might be on there.
So I remember this really vividly. Like, I was still doing the podcast with Joel at the time. Joel was in your seat. And we had recorded. It was on a Sunday afternoon. Recorded. Got done. I'm sitting at home. And I see a retweet from Chris Del Conte that, you know, guess who? I remember it very clearly. Guess who's coming to the 40 Acres? And it was a picture of Chris Del Conte with the whole Schaefer family. This is in COVID, too. So, like, you know, it's like a month into COVID. You don't know what's going on. And I'm not kidding, Carlo. I stared at that tweet for about 20 minutes. Just like, this has to be fake. What am I missing? I'm looking at his Twitter profile. I'm making sure everything's spelled correctly. I'm going through his tweets. I'm like, this is the athletic director at Texas. Oh, my God, he's hired Vic Schaefer. And what another layer to this was, you know, Vic Schaefer, graduate of Texas A&M, diehard Aggie, wore his Aggie ring all the time. We always thought if he ever leaves, he'll leave to go to Texas A&M. Never occurred to me that he might leave to go to Texas, his biggest rival. And I was in a group with, you know, Robbie and the rest of the guys. And I was like, we just blow up. We're like, holy crap, what? He's doing what? And, you know, tweeting out, like, quote tweeting it and being like, hey.
This is crazy.
Like, I think I said, like, wow is not a big enough word. Vic Schaefer is going to Texas. Jeez. And people were just like, people's minds were completely blown. It never occurred to anybody. I talked about this the other day with you, where I talked about my last conversation with Vic Schaefer after they had played Ole Miss. And I was like, this guy's going to win a national title here really soon.
They were really close.
They lost two straight national championship games. And then the next year, that team, when the season got canceled, I don't know if they would have – they were really young. They probably could have made a run to, like, the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. But the next year, he was bringing everybody back and bringing in Rekia Jackson, and you were like, that's going to be the team. They're going to win the national title. And then he was gone. And I, to this day, like, I just still have, I think about it every now and then, like, that the one of easily from my job as a, you know, the first four of these, I was not a media member to cover these things, right? This was the first time I was, you know, involved in, like, the coverage of it. And there's nothing comes close to it for me. Like, I still sometimes think about it. It's like, I can't believe he left to go to Texas. And it's worked out for him, obviously. Texas, he turned it into a powerhouse program. But that was a guy I thought was, like, going to be at Mississippi State until he retired.
Mm-hmm.
I really did think that. And, yeah, that's my number one. That's my number
one. Yeah, I thought that one might be on the list.
Yours has got to be Indiana won a national championship in football.
I mean, that.
That's the easy choice for you.
Yeah, that was something I never saw. When I never saw that coming, honestly, in my entire lifetime, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I get it.
I would have been happy if they. I mean, before their first playoff appearance, I think they had seven, eight bowl games or something ever.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, they win four last season alone? It makes no sense. But.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, that's my top five. If you got one out there, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if I missed something. I'm just trying to think my way around.
How? Let me ask you this: how shocking was it when Mullen left?
Not as shocking as you might think, because there had been, first off, basically since his second year, we had played the is he leaving or going game, right? Every year it was. After the offseason, like he's connected to this job, he's connected to that job. He kept staying, and then in 17, it was so much smoke that it was shocking that he went to Florida. Everybody thought he was going to Tennessee. Everybody thought he was taking that job, and then Florida, who had struck out on the names are incredible, right? Chip Kelly, Scott Frost. Those were the guys they were going after. They struck out on them, and so Strickland. I've always been told. Desperately did not want to pluck Mullen from Mississippi State, his alma mater, but he had to do his job.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think he was going to take another job at that point. So I remember him like seeing the tweets that he was gone, but going to Florida was like, oh, Florida. And if you go back and watch after, so State that season plays Alabama, has the lead in the fourth quarter, looks like they're going to win. And the game gets away from them. There's a terrible call in that game that cost State big. And they lose to Alabama. I think at that moment that he was like, I can't win championships here. If you go back and watch, they the next week they played a terrible, terrible Arkansas team in Little Rock, and basically the players carried them to a they won by a touchdown, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won by 40 points. The final game of the season, they were a 17-point favorite in the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss was not good that year. That was the first year after Freeze had left. Matt Luke's the interim. State was a huge favorite. Obviously, Fitzgerald gets hurt in that game. But, like, when Fitzgerald gets hurt, if you go back and watch, like, they are having to hold Jeff Simmons back. Like, he's wanting to go over there and just take out the entire Ole Miss sideline. He's pissed. And Mullen's just kind of standing there. And, like,
yeah.
5 years ago, Mullen would have been over there in Luke's face, been like, you did that on purpose, and we're going to kick your ass and all this stuff. And if you just watch that game, it's pretty obvious, like, the car's running and the suitcases in the back seat, and they're going to get out of it. Like, the joke I like to make is the Alabama game is the last game Dan Mullen ever coached at Mississippi State.
Did he announce it the night?
It was a couple days. Because I was coming back from I'd gone down to Vicksburg to get my mom, and
but everyone in the media, you guys, were you covering them?
Yeah.
Did everyone know that like this is he's done?
I'm sure some stories were written, and
all you had to hit was post.
Well, you probably had to go in there and find all the Tennessees and turn them to Floridas.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I think most people were pretty sure he was walking out.
Dang.
So I mean, sometimes you just get like that.
Yeah.
But. The Schaefer one is the opposite of that. Like, Schaefer's season ends without any postseason because of COVID. He's bringing back the entire team the next year, and he's adding a top five player in high school to the roster. Like, you're like, this is going to be a preseason number one team. And
then he leaves.
He just left. He left. He and John Cohen couldn't get along. There were some money issues between them, and there you go. It's interesting to think about now because – nowadays, like in the NIL world, it would be tough for Mississippi State to have a coach like Vic Schaefer because he would demand a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. And how much can you really give him when you got to give everything to football and
a lot more to baseball?
So there you go. So thank you, Dusty May and the Dallas Mavericks. Sometimes, you know, when we get the headlines, we're allowed to steal from them. And
anything with the Dallas Mavericks in the headlines now is.
Well, you know, it's funny, like the two most shocking things that have happened in the last 5 years of pro basketball involved the Dallas Mavericks. This and the Luka trade.
Where were you at the Luka trade?
Where was I? I was on my couch.
I was
sitting at home. It was Saturday night. Yeah. It's like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And the group text, I'm in a group text with Robbie, Steph, a few other guys. Steph, was he still working? He wasn't still working.
No, he wasn't here.
And he just said something about, like, wow, Shams didn't get hacked. And I was like, oh, we got some NBA drama? I'll take a look. I wasn't looking at Twitter. And I looked, and I that's another one I was like.
Yeah.
I stared at that tweet, and then I go to Shams' feed, and the next tweet from him was like, I have not been hacked. This is a real thing. And I was like, oh, my God. And I'm a Lakers fan. And I was like. What?
Yeah.
The next morning, I remember going for a walk. That's the first time I ever listened to the Bill Simmons podcast. So I was like, I got to get some perspective here.
Yeah.
And it was him, Russillo, and is it Goldsberry? Goldsberry? The Kirk Goldsberry? Is
I
that
think
his name?
So, yeah.
And I'll never forget, Russillo was like, they were talking about his, like, Mavericks had concerns about Luka's health. And Russillo was like, I don't care if he's smoking a cig walking up the court. Like, we can't trade this guy.
You can't.
And, yeah, that was one that blew my mind. And as a Lakers fan, I was like,
that was a wow. Tweet I had to read like six times to fully comprehend.
That's
it.
Up there.
I was like on my phone. I was like.
Yeah. The
Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
What?
Like, is there a Luka Doncic that I don't know
that was
about?
The year after I believe they made the
NBA Finals. They were in the finals the year before. Yeah.
Man, Nico Harris.
Well, not only that, like they had Luka and Brunson on the same team.
Yeah, they fumbled that bad.
Generational.
That bad.
Yeah. I think if I were to do a shocking thing outside of Mississippi State, the Kiffin thing this past year wasn't especially shocking.
Because
I knew eventually the day would come that he would leave, right? I thought the way the Auburn thing, I thought him coming back from the Auburn thing was more shocking. Like, I thought he was gone. Obviously, John Sokoloff reported that.
He thought he was gone too.
Well, I think John knew he was gone,
Yeah,
and it
he
changed.
changed his mind.
Things
Well,
changed.
that document or the documentary that
He proved it, yeah. Like,
it only
Sokoloff was
proved
right.
John was right.
Hashtag Sokoloff was right. Justice
Yeah,
for Sokoloff.
justice for him.
The heat Sokoloff had at the Egg Bowl that year was
Oh, you
unbelievable.
watched the press conference in 2022 when Kiffin's just actually ripping him in other
You're talking
answers.
about on the field, like in Oxford, the students are screaming at him the whole
Oh,
game.
I didn't know about
Oh
that.
yeah, they were giving him hell. But for me, it's when Freeze resigned. That's the one. I'll never forget that day as I was going for a walk. Oh yeah, he's right back there. Hey man, if you send me an autographed picture of a football coach, I'll hang it up.
Ooh.
Well, okay, there are exceptions. There's one exception. Yeah, no red and blue. I texted Keith Carter yesterday. Did I tell you about that?
No.
My daughter got a thing from Ole Miss because she's going
Like
to.
a recruitment
Yeah.
thing? Yeah.
Well, it actually said happy birthday.
Oh.
They're keeping up with her. I just sent him a picture. I was like, you guys are wasting postage money. It's like, I told him, I was like, you got a better chance of Lane coming back than this
What'd
happening.
he say?
And he's just like, I don't know, man. I think a hey dad would look good in red and blue. So he laughed it off. I told him happy Father's Day. But yeah, I just like my daughter was like, you're going to really text the Ole Miss athletic director? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did you get something from Southern Miss? I'll text Jeremy McClain too.
He's been very nice to me.
Keith has been, couldn't have been nicer every time I've talked to him.
Yeah.
So, the day Freeze resigned, I was going out for a walk and I just checked my phone like one last time before I hit the track. I was going to walk over the lake all around campus. And it said that it was Pat Forty. He was like, hearing huge news from Ole Miss, Freeze to resign, confirmation coming. I just looked at my phone. I was like, got in the car, drove back home. My wife was like, what's going on? I was like, don't talk to me for the rest of the night. I'm going to be locked in here. And sure enough, he was gone. So there it is. All right. Let's big change of pace here. Grab your schedule. We'll move into our SEC picks for the day. I'm interested to see if we finally got something different here. But we'll do that in just a moment. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And, of course, the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. Whatever you want to grab for lunch, Two Brothers or the Older Brother, you got great options. If you want a burger, the best burger and fries in town is at the Older Brother. If you want great tacos, wings, the pork rind nachos, they've got those. That was a good there.
They are good.
They are good. They are good. Go grab a meal in the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, same people, same number. You know them. They know you. You've got that relationship, and they'll get you taken care of each and every time. They've been doing it for 50 years. They're going to keep doing it for a long, long time. Give them a call today, 601-873- Where did 87? Where did that come from? 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems help your business do business. I know where 87 came from. So that's the C Spire text line on Sports Talk Mississippi, 601-879-4395.
Okay.
I have to keep all these random phone numbers. What are you looking at?
Give me that pen. I realize there's something
You got
wrong.
something wrong?
Not with this week, but next week. But just keep going.
Okay. Maroon and Co. That's the place to go if you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville. Everything maroon and white at Maroon and Co. Everything, not just clothes, stuff for your car, your house, your tailgate, your office, whatever it is. Maroon and Co. has got it. Come check them out. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply before you go to your next Mississippi State sporting event. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Maroon and Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the name to know if you're looking for great John Deere products here in North Mississippi. Guys, we got to mow the grass. There's just no way around it. That's what the summer is about. You've got the big jobs, the big house, the big, huge tract of land. Take that back from you. I really should ding you for not knowing what huge tract of land is, but I won't. Sorry. You need to maybe look at a John Deere commercial tractor, compact tractor. They've got those available for you at Scruggs. Great financing available. Talk to their credit department. But if you're just a regular homeowner, well, a John Deere zero-turn mower will get the job done fast, and your yard will be looking great. They've got them all right there for you at Scruggs. Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Landowners in this state, if you're looking to buy a huge tract of land, they've got you taken care of at Good Hope Land and Timber. A couple hundred to a couple thousand acres. Good Hope Land and Timber can make that purchase happen for you. But if you're already a landowner, just trying to run, you know, manage your land, your resources, your timber, give Good Hope Land and Timber a call today. They'll get everything taken care of for you. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a simple phone call. 601-442-9888 or visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. I see this Kentucky team. It's kind of what like State was Mullen's first year. I think they'll be a team that you don't want to play. They'll be improved. They'll be in some games they maybe shouldn't be in. I just don't know about a winning season in year one. But let's just jump into
this. This might be drastically different between us two.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just say that.
I've got them beating Youngstown State.
Yep.
I've got them losing to Alabama.
Yes.
Week three at Texas A&M. That's a loss.
Yes.
Okay. Same page. Same page. But in the same, both of these games, I bet they're competitive. I bet those games. Look, I'm not saying they you know, one of those games where going into the fourth quarter, maybe Bama's up 10, and they get a late touchdown. It's like 41-24 or something like okay. that.
It looks worse than
it looks worse than it is.
Gotcha. Yeah.
South Alabama's a win.
Yep.
At South Carolina is interesting. I got a win for that one.
I have a loss.
All right. I've got them beating the Gamecocks. I'm just not high on the Gamecocks this year.
Okay.
LSU at home, that's a loss.
Definitely.
At Oklahoma's a loss.
Definitely.
Vanderbilt's a win.
Yes.
All right. All right. Very good. Very good. Off week, then, used to be the Bourbon Barrel. I don't know what it is now. Great, great rivalry that political correctness has taken away from us. The Bourbon Barrel. Come on. Kentucky and Tennessee.
What are we doing here?
That's what I'm saying. I have a loss there.
Yep.
I have a loss to Florida.
Yep.
I have a loss at Missouri.
Yes.
Well, we're not that different at all. I have them beating Louisville.
I don't.
Okay. So this is where my Mullen comparison happens. Mullen coming into the Egg Bowl, he's 4-7. Everybody's like, they're obviously better. We'll see what happens. Then he wins that Egg Bowl, and everybody's like, okay, they're going to be really good under this guy. I think that happens here. I think Kentucky is competitive all year, and they're like, they're clearly better. As he recruits, they'll get better. They beat Louisville, and they give themselves some offseason momentum. That's what I'm saying. So I have them 5-7. You've got 4-8?
I've got 3-9.
3-9. Ooh. So you have the opposite. You're saying you're not high on the Will Stein era.
I've got them winning the two non-conference games outside of Louisville, and then I've got them beating Vanderbilt, which Vanderbilt I think is going to be really bad.
All right. I think they're going to be better. I'm this guy, he's recruiting well.
If I had to do over this, I would probably pick them to beat Louisville, but that would be the only change.
Just not sold on that win at South Carolina?
No.
Okay. You high on the Gamecocks this year?
No.
Well, then you're so disdainful of it.
I'm not disdainful. I don't see how that's – I mean, at South Carolina, really?
Yeah, why not?
You think Mississippi State wins that game?
Do I have
– Don't say anything.
I'll say that they can win that game.
They can.
All right. So
they also can.
Yeah.
But will they?
I don't know. I say yes.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll revisit that as we get closer. All right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Get your questions in. Carlo and
your responses.
Please lock your responses.
Please.
Make it easy. Thursday show, we'll do no opponent preview this week. So we might just do a summer school for that one. And then we'll get closer to the start of the college football season. We need to get some interviews too. We need to get some of our college football friends come on here and just talk about some big picture stuff and their thoughts on Mississippi State. We'll certainly work to do that this week. Talk to you guys tomorrow for Carlo Brown. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.